Welcome to Your Future Is Now, hosted by Jim Grant and Bill Heinrich. Their show is dedicated to sharing information in business, health, and obstacles we face in our everyday lives. Jim is also the TV host of Messages of Inspiration and Hope on E360 TV. Bill is the author of 7 Levels of Truth and is a master in the world of getting clarity in your mind to clear out the cobwebs and remove mental barriers that hold you back. Each week, they will interview an exciting guest. We're so glad you've tuned in. Be sure to share the show. And now, here's Jim.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. Your Future Is Now is proudly brought to you by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. And when I talk about the 6MinuteWebinar.com, let me humbly say that that thing has really blessed me in my life. And what I mean by that, and Bill is going to pick up on this, I'm joined today by the honorary host here on Toginet Radio, Mr. Bill Heinrich, the author of the 7 Levels of Truth. But Bill remembers back in April of this year, I was invited to speak on an online summit in India, and the guest of honor, one of the guests of honor, and they had a whole bunch of other people there, was the King of Oman. And so I knew going into that scenario, there's going to be a lot of people watching me. So the last thing that I wanted to do was sound, you know, unprofessional or disorganized or whatever. I did not want to struggle at all during my presentation. I wanted to be crystal clear. I wanted to look like the lights were on and I was home, if you know what I mean. So I took the 6-minute webinar and I crafted my talk from it. And all I did was just, you know, build up a little bit in the three areas that I needed to on the three ways that my three keys I was going to share. And I trimmed off some stuff that was not applicable. I got invited back the next day, and long story short, that thing just kept blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. And now we're involved. The 6-minute webinar is, and my TV show, The Messages of Inspirational Stories on E360 TV. We're all involved in this next coming summit, the end of August. And my show has the honor of hosting, my TV show hosting this webinar put on by Vanya Kusik Foundation, along with, in accordance with, in association with, I should say, the 6-minute webinar on E360 TV. Mr. Bill, that is a huge blessing, isn't it, brother?
Hey, Jim, good morning. It really is. And it all happened because the talk you gave was so clear and concise. It was really quite remarkable. In fact, tomorrow we're doing a boot camp. We do those once a month. If you want information on our boot camps, it's at 6SIXMinuteWebinar.com. But I want to share something with you, Jim.
Okay.
I just received an email this week from Ed Oakley. Do you remember Ed?
Yes.
Ed has the Enlightened Leadership Solutions and he's been doing teaching leadership for the past 25 years. This is the email he sent me. The 6-minute webinar is an amazing tool to help anyone who's trying to determine how to market their service or product. It has forced me to simplify, clarify, and focus my offers in ways I haven't experienced in courses that cost thousands of dollars each. You can't sum it up any better than that.
That's really the truth.
It's so powerful.
Yeah. So now you folks know why I used that 6-minute webinar to craft my talk, because I really wanted to, you know, sound very, very professional, and I wanted to make a good positive impression, and evidently I did. And if you're going to give a presentation, you want to make sure you put your best foot forward. I highly recommend the 6-minute webinar at SIXMinuteWebinar.com. And like I say, we're going to have a boot camp tomorrow. Wow. Where you can sit down and fill out your own 6-minute webinar. Those boot camps are amazing, aren't they, Bill?
They really are. It's a 3-hour live boot camp with Don McGrath and myself. We're the co-creators of the 6-minute webinar, along with Jim. And Don and I run the boot camp, and we literally help you create your webinar on the fly. But Jim, I want to switch over, hand it back to you about our guest today, because we have a fascinating topic today. This is a topic that most people don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's one of the the two inevitable things in life, which are death and taxes. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about death today. We have an amazing guest on. I'll let you take it from there, Jim.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, our guest today is Pam McPherson. And Pam got involved with hospice back in 1985. And before the show, we were talking about when did hospice come around? Because all of a sudden it was there. And it came around in the late 70s. And it really is a blessing because I've had the privilege of being with a loved one during their last moments on earth. And for them to know that I love them enough that I was there. That's truly, truly, truly a blessing for everyone. And it's something that you never forget. And you're so glad because so many people have regrets when they could not say, you know, something at the last moment. They were not there to tell them they loved them, or they were not there, you know, to just show that they cared. And Pam, my goodness gracious, you call this the gift in presence. You know, being present is totally a gift, isn't it, Pam? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, both of you, Jim and Bill, for inviting me to be with you today. I've looked forward to this, and I love the opportunity to talk about something that I feel passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little touch about myself. I have a background way back in my life in nursing that was very brief, but I have been drawn to being with the dying and supporting the dying for many, many decades now. And I'm a hospice volunteer. And while there are a lot of different tasks and contributions that hospice volunteers make to the families and individuals that they attend to, my area of interest has been for many years sitting vigil, which is essentially sitting with people in mm-hmm. the last hours of their life.
That's really amazing because with your nursing background, I could easily see where you have the ability to help that loved one in their last hours on planet Earth, where you got the knowledge and experience that the family may not have to be able to help them and assist them.
It certainly, that background certainly gave me a good grounding and some good basics for doing this form of volunteering. I would just love to jump right in and read a poem.
Okay.
And then talk a little bit about vigil sitting.
Yes. Maybe before you do that, Pam has written a book, and I'd just like you to briefly talk about your book and how it got written. And then we'll go right to the poems. I think that's mm-hmm. very important for the audience.
Okay, love to. As Jim has said, I've been a hospice volunteer since 1985. And one of the ways that I take care of myself in being able to sit with people who are dying is that I always keep a journal. Now, I don't always write in my journal related to each time I sit with someone, but a journal is a place to write is my place of processing. A number of years ago, I was asked to be on a panel at our local VNA in a hospice volunteer training where they were educating volunteers about sitting vigil. And there were a number of people on the panel. I was one of five or six, and I thought, oh gosh, if I'm number six, what am I going to have to say that everyone before me hasn't already said? So I went to my journal and realized how much of my processing was done in poetry form. Mm. I took a few of the poems out of my journal and brought them to two friends who were involved with me in end-of-life care at that time. And asked if I could read them to them to see what if they thought they were appropriate for this setting that I would be in. And they were really, I read them one and they were silent. And I thought, okay, I guess that bites the dust. And I asked if I could read them another one. And they said, oh, absolutely. And when I read them another one, they said, you need to do something with this. So that really is the genesis of pulling my poetry together and publishing it, which I did about 5 years ago. And they're all poems related to sitting with people who are facing the end of their life. And most of them are my processing about being with those people. So I'm going to jump in and read one because I think it's a good introduction. It's very brief. It's called Soul Gifts, and it will just give you a sense of what this is like. Soul gifts, the gift of time, of silence, the practice of presence, listening, giving dignity, respect, and compassion to each dying person as I sit alone sharing sacred passing moments. Gentle touch, soft reassurance, my small gifts to give as I bear witness, as I am being with. Gifts from the soul, time, and presence.
Wow. That's really something. We got about 2 minutes left before we go to commercial break. And Mr. Bill, I tell you right now, the poetry she read there, it really gets you right in the heart, doesn't it?
Well, it's right at the core of life and the ability to be totally present, and especially in a situation that most people, I refer to it as they do the fingernail check. You know, they're looking at their fingernails. They aren't sure what to do. And, it's because it's uncomfortable. Maybe because we're concerned about our own mortality. Mm-hmm. But I know we're going to go to break in a minute. And when we come back, we'll have Anne McPherson tell us about a little bit more about her book, the title, the website. If you have an interest, how you can get a copy of the book, and we're going to get some more poems read. And I have a lot of other questions to ask about this, Jim. I find this all very, very fascinating. So stick with us, ladies and gentlemen, because right when we get back, we're going to get into some more very interesting information.
SpeakersPathway.com is the proud sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speakers Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors, all quilters just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly brought to you by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. And me and the honorary host here, Mr. Bill Heinrich. Bill is fondly known around the world as the dean of the 6-Minute Webinar because he is one of the key guys, him and Don McGrath. They created that 6-Minute Webinar. They created Script, Don created Script Pal. And I'm telling you, if you really want to be able to put together a great presentation and you need something that will attract your ideal client, the 6-minute webinar is the only thing that you need. It's the only thing that you need. I can say that with confidence because I've been there and done it. And Bill, our guest today, oh my goodness, she's talking about being present and what it means to someone in their hour of need, isn't she?
Yeah, well, in their final hours, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I want to ask Pam McPherson a few things. I'm going to give you a few questions at once here, Pam. We'd like to know the name of the book, your website. But you mentioned briefly how long you've been doing – you've sat vigil, but if you'd be a little more specific about that and also talk a bit more about what it's like to really be present, because this is one of the most important things in our daily lives, not just at the end of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole list for you, Pam.
thanks, Bill. Thanks. Yes, indeed. Let's start with the name of the book. The name of the book is Vigil, the Poetry of Presence. And there's a website for it, and it's www.vigilpoetry.com. And information about getting the book, you can purchase the book through the website. You can purchase it on Amazon. My information is on the website. You can be in touch with me, and I can sign copies, whatever, and send them to you. I'm always happy to do that. So I'd like to just mention a couple of things that are the basics for me upon which I build when I'm speaking with people or groups. And one is that dying, death and dying are a normal part of the organic, natural cycle of life. That's really important to start with. In hospice care, which I'll be talking about in just a minute, death is not an emergency. Death is anticipated, and it gives all kinds of opportunities around a death occurring just prior and after it occurring that don't exist in an emergency situation. There are lots of ways to support people who are dying, them in the process of active dying themselves and their families. And hospice is one of the key organizations that people turn to for that form of support. Hospice care, which has been active in this country since the end of the 1979, is compassionate, supportive care for those who are have a terminal illness and are facing what is estimated to be the last 6 months of their life. Mm-hmm. It's holistic care. It's team-based care. The hospice is a team of different disciplines so that all aspects of life are addressed, physical, emotional, spiritual, psychological. Mm-hmm. It's very comprehensive, but it's care without a curative intention. That's really important. It's making the most facilitating, supporting the best quality of life possible in the time, whatever time one has. So my part of in that, I actually worked with the hospice team for 16 years and was a coordinator of the volunteer program. But I was a volunteer before that and after that. I retired in 2004. And the aspect of hospice volunteering that drew me really spoke to and enhanced my passion was being present, supporting right at the end of life with a new vigil sitting, which is what the form of hospice volunteering is that I do and others do, is sitting with people usually within the last 48 hours of life.
You know,
so,
one,
pardon
me for interrupting. I was just going to say one of the things that I remember about hospice care that is so such a blessing to the family and to the, you know, the person at that time is that they know what to bring into the house. They know what, you know, the type of equipment that each patient needs. And that's a huge relief for the family. I mean, when I went through that and I saw all the things they brought in, I thought, man, I'd never be able to, you know, I'd be going back and forth to the store, you know, lickety split after, as soon as we, because we just didn't realize what that loved one needed at that time. And that's one thing I'll really admire about hospice and the type of care that they provide. And so, Pam, please go ahead. I'm sorry if I interrupted you there.
Not at all.
No, thank you. It's true. And actually, there's a Medicare benefit and insurance benefits that make being able to stay at home during one's last hours, days, weeks, whatever it is, very, very reasonable to do. That really facilitates that, which is great. Visual sitting itself, when I receive an email that says we have someone, a family or an individual for whom it is desired to have volunteers sit with them, either because the family is exhausted and needs respite, or perhaps it's someone who has no family that's in a facility. There are a lot of different reasons. I can respond to that. And often when my preference is to do late night hours. So often between 9 at night and 1 in the morning is, I will choose a 3-hour block of time and respond saying that I'd be happy to be there. The actual sitting vigil for me means that to prepare myself, what I do is, when I'm en route to someone's home or a facility, I'm trying to empty myself of whatever has gone on in my day and is on my mind, because I really want to go through the portal of their room with an open heart and a desire to simply be fully present to the individual as I can be. For the period of time that I'm there. That's kind of my process. The actual sitting with them, and sometimes I'm, as they say, tag teaming with another volunteer who's there before me or another volunteer who follows me, or I'm just relieving a family member for 3 hours. So I go in and settle in. I sit close. I touch. Making sure with the staff that touch is okay. Not everyone likes to be touched. And just tell them in a soft voice what my first name is. And then I'm just going to be sitting beside them, that I will be with them for a period of time. Often people are either through natural progression of illness or through chemical medication, they may not be responsive. Often that is the case right at the end of life. And if that's not the case, I try to be reassuring and just have an open-hearted presence for them.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it, Bill, for someone to know that somebody cares. That's a need that we have all the way through life. We want to be loved, and we want to know that we matter and someone cares.
And it's true.
It's so true, Jim, you know. And I know one of the things that Pam had mentioned earlier, and we have a couple minutes here before break, but you mentioned about how our own mortality deepens and expands your ability to live. Could you speak briefly about that from these experiences?
Oh, very true, Bill. Very true. You know, when I think about what do I get out of doing this besides how many times in a day or in your week do you have a time that's just so open and free and that you can just be fully present without feeling like you have to do? We are very much doing beings rather than just being beings. For me personally, this just puts my mortality in front of me in the healthiest and best of ways, where I can honor someone else's life. Usually I don't know. I almost never know the people that I'm sitting with. It's a very anonymous thing that I'm doing. It feels very good to be able to make a difference and to relieve family, be helpful in some way. But it really opens my heart to just being present and being with whatever I am with this person in the moment. Sometimes to allow myself to feel a little closer to where they're at, I will match my breathing to their breathing to share their experience a little more, to be a little more present with them. But it slows me down and it deepens the moment and it expands the value of my own living as I leave their presence.
That's really amazing, because as you're saying that, it opens my eyes to the fact that the more of the capacity that I have to love others, that is when I have more of the capacity to enjoy the abundance of love and life and what life is meant to be from the beginning. And I got to give Bill a lot of credit on that, because his book, The Seven Levels of Truth, and being around Bill, he helped me a lot in that area. So we're getting ready to go to tunes, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back right after this brief message.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
It's words you never heard.
Man cannot live by bread alone. He must have his peanut butter. Peanut butter is a pate of childhood, and it's not just for kids, as dogs love it too. Last night I gave my dog a pill hidden in peanut butter. What's a word for a messy concoction that helps the medicine go down? Slibber sauce. Mice apparently prefer peanut butter to cheese when it comes to luring them into the trap. But there are even more practical uses for peanut butter. Peanut butter contains natural oils, which makes it perfect for removing all kinds of sticky things, like gum stuck in your shoe or in your hair. What's a word for the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth? Arachnophobia. And according to Barry Goldwater, if you don't mind smelling like peanut butter for 2 or 3 days, peanut butter is a darn good shaving cream.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly brought to you today by the good guys at the 6-Minute Webinar. That's SIXMinuteWebinar.com. Bill and I are joined today by a young lady. Her name is Pam McPherson, and she is talking about a very interesting subject, something she has a passion for, the gift in just being present with someone during the last hour or day of their life. And Bill, I tell you, it's really amazing how she's really reaching out and sharing how she feels, because we feel it, and it comes straight from the heart, doesn't it, brother?
You know, it really does. And if you're just tuning in, Pam has had the opportunity to sit vigil with people who are transitioning. And during that time, over many years of doing this, has written a book of poetry called Vigil. You can go to www.vigilpoetry.com to get more information or to order a book. And in this section, Jim, I'd like to start, Pam, let's start by having you read a poem.
And
we can talk about that.
Okay. We were just speaking about what it's like sitting at the bedside, and what the meaning for me is in doing this. So this is one of my favorite poems, and these poems are all from my journal. They're unedited. I simply sit and write them, and when I'm done, I'm done. A pen never touches them again. So they're just simply my processing of a moment or an experience. This is called Still Point. Me, a stranger at your bedside, your hand held in mine as in this still, dimly lit space that is your hospital room, I breathe with you, matching my breath to your shallow, fading air exchange. How could I know what I was about to receive? Your presence, your dying, brings me to my still point. The place of centering and calm, so difficult to access in the hum and buzz of everyday living. A place where nothing exists beyond our sacred shared presence. To not die alone, to bear witness to this sacred transition, to stand in for all who ever loved you, a privilege beyond description.
Wow. That's really, that really touches at the heart. And I can just imagine how comforted it will be, in addition to all the wonderful things that you do, Pam, and meet the family's needs, to be able to share with some of the family members that were far away when, you know, and not able to get there until just maybe the last moment. You could share some very comforting thoughts with them too, couldn't you?
Yes, actually. Visits are often quite silent. There's not a lot of speaking. Mm-hmm. As I said before, I introduce myself in a soft voice and sit very close to them.
Yeah.
But I do often make statements of affirmation that reaffirming that this is an important time that I'm witnessing with them, that it's a privilege for me. That they're doing a good job, that they're on an important mission right then, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I was talking about the family members that could not be there, but maybe got there at the last moment or whatever, you know, and being able to share some comforting thoughts with them. That's what I meant.
I'm sorry. Yes, sure. It depends. If I'm visiting a facility, sometimes I never see any family members.
Right.
Occasionally, I do, and they're always so appreciative.
Yes.
And so grateful that people would just come and do this with a stranger. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, it's very difficult for families sometimes to leave the bedside because they want to be there for the entire experience, to be with their loved one.
Yeah.
But often the nurses convince them that if they leave and get some sleep, it looks like there is enough time for them to do that. They will come back and be rested and be able to be there for what really is the most important time.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other hand, sometimes there are no families.
Right.
I'm with someone who has no family. known to them to be present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can happen because, you know, like an only child that doesn't have any relatives or anything, their mom and dad's gone. I mean, yeah, that can, that's a, you know, they don't have anybody else if, you know. And, yeah. You know, if someone is listening out there and they're thinking like, wow, that is something I could do. I have that ability, that gift. I have that compassion. And I'd like to be able to give back to families and to, you know, the person in their hour of need. What would you recommend for them to do? Who to get in touch with? That sort of thing.
I'm sitting here smiling because that's one of the things I hope to be able to speak about. And I would love to encourage people to contact their local hospice program. That mm-hmm. would be the place to inquire about volunteering. There are just so many different forms of hospice volunteering. There's almost a place for anyone who wishes to do it to find something that they would enjoy and appreciate doing.
Mm-hmm.
There is an extremely valuable training program in hospice programs for volunteers.
That's really amazing, isn't it, Bill? Because, you know, there's, you know, sometimes when people hear something, you know, they get like, wow, I've never really thought about that, but I could do that. And that's your, mm-hmm. that's the energy calling you, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, it really is, you know, and it's the pureness of the moment that's, to me, so intriguing. The emptiness of space. Is that, am I saying that right, Pam?
Oh, very much so, Bill. You know, just allowing things to be, but to have the strength and the presence to be, I'm reusing the word, I'm struggling, but to be fully present with someone. It doesn't matter if it's with someone who's dying or if it's with your best friend and they are telling you about something that hasn't gone well in their day. Any time that we are fully present to another is a gift.
Yeah, it's the, you had mentioned this before, you know, the ability to empty yourself and just be without all of the disruptions, interruptions and chaos.
And distractions, absolutely. You know, another lesson that has been a good lesson for me to learn and try to grow from is how to be and not do. When I sit vigil with someone, I'm there just to be. I'm not there to fix anything. I'm not there to make anything better, to take care of anything. I mean, I can go into, I remember one time when I went into a hospital room and the room was in such disarray and it was very hard for me to not straighten it up a little bit before I sat down. But that's not what this is about. That's not being present. That's taking care of the superficial things. Mm-hmm. And I knew I just needed to go in and focus and be present to this other being, share this time with them. The other piece that I've had to learn that's been a good lesson for me is to be comfortable with not knowing. Having been a hospice volunteer coordinator for 16 years, I took great pride in my ability to prepare volunteers well for situations that they would go into. But in vigil sitting, I find I have very little information. I have a name and I have a location, and I may not have any more information than that. And so to go in and just be and not know, I mean, I would love to know someone's spiritual base to adapt me a little bit to how I might be more present to them, or do they have family, or just the things that you normally would know socially about people, and that I would let volunteers know before they went into regular assignments. So I had to learn how to be with not knowing, to bring my not knowing self and be fully present.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to explain
how you reach that, how you prepare to get to, I guess, the emptiness.
Yeah, it's a practice. I mean, you know, practice means repetition. When we practice something, we're doing it over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it is a form of practice. And it's one of the ways that that I have been able to grow in doing this volunteering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are just so many gifts on my side of the quotient here that I feel like I receive.
What are some
we
of
for
those?
Time?
Yeah.
Well, I think I've mentioned some of them. Just, you know, my personal growth. It's really helped me to know how to be in life, how to be with others, how to be more present to people, how to be more accepting, how to be less judgmental, how to not have an agenda, which is big for me personally. Anyway, all of those things, they're all arenas that I really welcome personal growth in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I identified with all of those. How about you, Jim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You better believe it. And we got about 1 minute left. And so, Pam, I'd love for you once again to say the name of your book and where people can find it, your website, that sort of thing. Please do.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Vigil, The Poetry of Presence is the name of the book. Mm-hmm. And the website is www.vigilpoetry.com. And through the website, there are interviews on the website that you can listen to. There are samples of poems, and there's a means of, and I've done some blog writing on it too about my experiences, but there's a means there to be in touch and order a book if you wish.
That sounds great. We're about ready to go to commercial break. We'll be right back.
Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, a video is worth a thousand pictures. Koji Simaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Scotch tape originate in Scotland? Nope. The popular gift wrapping tape was actually developed right here in the United States. In 1926, the Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company, 3M, was being a bit rapacious, trying to save a little scratch or money, and started using a cheaper adhesive on their sticky tape. A Detroit automaker ordered some of this newer, cheaper tape to use for spray painting auto bodies. But the automaker complained because the tape was Scotch, a politically incorrect word that meant cheap or stingy. While the tape didn't have the adhesion to satisfy the automaker, it was hardly a Gifu jet. That's an unnecessary thing. It had many other uses, as we all know. So the tape was kept in production, and the name Scotch just stuck.
It's Marching Neighbor.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Yeah. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly brought to you by the good guys at the 6-Minute Webinar. That's SIXMinuteWebinar.com. And I'm joined today by the honorary host here on TogiNet Radio, Mr. Bill Heinrich. Bill, my goodness gracious, I am so thankful that you invited Pam McPherson to be a guest on our show today, because this lady is... she's sharing some information that you don't hear very, very. In fact, this is the first time we've ever had a show that shared something this deep in the heart.
You know, it's so true, Jim. Of all the shows we've done, this is the most profound.
Yes.
It
just hits home.
Yeah, it just kind of makes you stop and, really think about the beauty and the quality of life.
Yeah.
And to sit vigil with people who are transitioning from physical life and have that empty space is, I now, Pam, can see why the subtitle is The Gift of Presence. So what are some things you would like to talk about? I know you wanted to mention something about all the volunteers that do this and how other people can, but what else would you like to talk about in our last segment here?
Let's see. I'd like to talk a little bit about self-care, taking care of yourself and doing this. What some of the takeaways might be for people who are listening.
Yeah, please.
And say. I want to be certain to be able to close with the last poem, the epilogue in my book.
Oh, okay.
So, but as you said, I do want to reinforce that volunteers are trained in hospice programs to do all sorts of supportive volunteering. It's amazing. Restaurants in town give meals, and a volunteer oversees that, gets meals to families, and they take care of pets, and they there's just a whole host of different things based on what needs are, what the nurse perceives and hears a family's need as being. And I am one of a host of many who do this form of volunteering. But in order to do this volunteering, I do have to take care of myself. I'm very drawn to it. I have been for years. Interestingly, my grandmother, who was a fairly young widow in her 40s when her husband died, had to take over his business, which was a funeral home here in our hometown. And I was always very close to her growing up. And I can't help but think that she had some influence that I'm still not clear about. In the passion that I feel for doing what I'm doing. So I love, and I'm not going to read it now, but I even have a poem about her in my book. But in order to do it, I'm not able to take this lightly. I take it quite seriously. It's a huge privilege to be able to be with, to witness, and to receive what I receive in doing it. However, in leaving, when I leave someone, sometimes I'm holding things that I still need to process. And in hospice, I can do that confidentially and privately with another volunteer who's assigned to the same individual, or certainly with a volunteer coordinator. But I also, the other means I have that I most often use is my journal. I've used journals for years for different purposes. And without putting personal information in there that would identify someone, I can process how I am feeling to help myself to move forward and either learn from the experience or be in a good place following it. So that's one of the ways that I take care of myself. People have many different ways. Some people just need to be near the water, and some people need to walk in the woods. And but it is important to recognize that it's an important part of being able to do this is to be aware, self-aware, and to take care of yourself.
It really is, because I imagine in the work that you do, as rewarding that it is, and the fulfillment that you get, knowing the love for the person and what you mean to them. I mean, it's, you know, you got to be able to recharge your battery. And I understand that, because you want to make sure you take care of yourself. And that's true in all walks of life, because when you love and you give and you love and you give, you got to be able to, you know, take some time out for you and find out where your area is in life, what recharges you. And Bill, I remember about a month ago, we had a couple on here, and they're in a geometry, and you're very familiar with that. But they made some very profound statements about how to recharge themselves, didn't they?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's such a, I think that the recharging, Pam, correct me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't it really have more to do with your reentry into life?
Sure. Yes, it does. Transitioning into and being able to hold this in the right space within your heart or within you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know I once asked a hospice nurse years ago that I worked with, how do you do it? And she said, I think about it after one of my patients dies, and I pick one thing that I'm going to take with them and carry with me for the time being. And I always thought that was a great answer. I thought it was made it very clear that she was taking care of herself. And if you're taking care of yourself, you have more to give. And hospice programs are known for this, for taking care of their volunteers. And helping them to understand their need to take care of themselves, so that often in hospice programs, you see our program here still has a small handful of volunteers that have been volunteers since the early 80s. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
But it's because they've taken care of themselves and they've been supported in doing that. Switching gears just for a second, because I'd like to be sure to be able to say this.
Go ahead.
I'd like to just talk about what some takeaways might be for people who are listening.
Okay.
They don't need to jump up and become a vigil sitting hospice volunteer, although joining a hospice program is an awesome, life-changing experience with deep meaning. But from what we've talked about, I think the value in presence is the first thing I'd like to mention. Mm-hmm. To never underestimate the value in being present to someone, especially if you can silently be fully present to them, to be a listener, to not be thinking about how you're going to respond or what the next thing is to say, but when someone's speaking, to just be a full listener.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is the value in silence. Silence is a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. and we don't need to fill it.
Yeah.
Silent to become comfortable with silence is a gift you give yourself, I believe.
Mm.
And the third thing is about holding space. This is a kind of a new phrase that's out there. And that simply means being able to create a safe space for someone else where you are not judging, having any shoulds, telling them what they ought to do related to whatever it is they're sharing, but just holding the space for them, being present to them, caring about them. And truly in doing that, sometimes people easily can move into their own solutions for whatever they're struggling with or sharing that they might be working with. Those three things I wanted to mention.
Yes, it's making me realize that such a big part of that, of the emptying, is the way you would support the best as you enter a vigil would be melding into their space.
Absolutely.
not bringing all of your clutter with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, there's a wonderful quote from Ram Dass, who's an American spiritual teacher, that I love this quote. It's, when all is said and done, we are just walking each other home.
Mm.
I love that quote.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's real. Yeah. And I want to make sure, I know, Pam, you wanted to read a poem.
Oh, yeah.
Before the end of the show. So I was going to ask you to do that now. Mm-hmm. To make sure we get that in. We have a couple minutes left.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you. Thank you so much, both Bill and Jim, for having me with you today. This has been a great experience.
Our pleasure.
The poem is the epilogue in my book, and it's called Important Work, This Dying. Important work, this dying, lying in wait, existing, sleep-closed eyes or unresponsive stares. What goes on? Is it dreaming or oblivion? Does a mind chatter, or does it float on the waves of immeasurable endlessness? When the time comes, will I have the courage to say, let me do this the best way I can? Let me go through my dying process in as conscious and intentional a way as is possible. I want to suck the marrow out of life, to lift high the blinds on life's windows and embrace the warmth of sunlight, absorb the beauty of the night sky. I can do it if you'll be there with me, as I also face storms and clouds. Let's be courageous together as I walk my journey to forevermore.
Wow, that's a beautiful poem. And ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time, but I wanted to remind everyone that Pam's book, The Vigil, The Poetry of Presence, is at vigilpoetry.com. All the links will be there after the show. And Bill, I tell you right now, this has just been a great, great show, hasn't it, brother?
Really, really wonderful, Pam. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll have to get you on again sometime. Mm-hmm. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.